Disappointing development on jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon, in for Jeremy Hobson. There's downright discouraging news on the labor front this morning. The job placement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas reports the number of planned layoffs at U.S. firms rose in the past month to the highest level in almost a year. CEO John Challenger is live on the line with details of his latest outlook. Good morning, sir. Report blames mostly government layoffs. Are we starting to see the downside of government budget cutting?
I think so. We're really in a recession from a hiring standpoint, employment standpoint, in government. They announced 16,380 job cuts in the month, and that was up 154% from January, nearly 200% from a year ago.
Now, we all know all too well that gas prices keep rising. Is that bound to slow how many people that companies can hire?
It's going to be a big factor. Small businesses particularly are affected. Their nuts affected as their costs for transporting goods, moving employees around goes up. It's like a tax, not only to small businesses, which contribute most of the hiring growth, but also to consumers, which drive much of the U.S. economy.
Job placement consultant John Challenger, thanks for bringing us up to date ahead of Friday's all-important jobs report.
Thank you.
There will be a new cop on the bank beat this summer. The Consumer Financial Product Bureau will have limited enforcement powers over small banks and credit unions. But today, the House Financial Services Committee is letting small banks air their concerns over even that partial control, as our John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
Bob Ramsey is a bank analyst with FBR Capital Markets. He says smaller banks will take a bigger hit from, say, new paperwork requirements than big competitors would.
Think about the fixed costs associated with changing the disclosures on your mortgage forms to a company the size of a Bank of America is immaterial once you spread it across thousands of customers. But if you're a small community bank, the incremental cost is certainly much more significant.
He says those extra costs could crimp bank lending. But Travis Plunkett with the Consumer Federation of America says the financial reforms give small banks special consideration.
The small banks had enormous influence on the legislative process, and they were able to get themselves excluded from the bulk of the regulatory costs.
Plunkett says the Consumer Bureau has to closely scrutinize new regulations to make sure they don't burden small banks and credit unions. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's scrutinize the numbers. With Libya's Muammar Gaddafi vowing again today to fight to the last man and last woman and blaming a conspiracy to control his country's oil, the price of crude is back up to a few cents shy of $100 a barrel, and that's once again weighing on global markets. It's not a good sign Saudi Arabia's stock market is staggering again today. Along with European exchanges across the board, they're down as much as 1%, continuing yesterday's Wall Street slide.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
There's a move here in California to have the state jump on the nationwide bandwagon for a new kind of sin tax. And we've got LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus in the studio to talk about it. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So what is California proposing here?
Well, a California lawmaker, William Monning, is proposing a penny per ounce tax on sweetened beverages. You're talking soda, you're talking sports drinks, you're talking energy drinks.
Isn't this going to hit low-income people the hardest?
Well, probably, because many studies show that lower-income communities and minority communities tend to be some of the highest users of soda pop. On the other hand, if that's where the obesity crisis is biggest, perhaps that's where you need to target. And right now, what we're seeing is black communities, Latino communities have disproportionately higher levels of obesity. And overall in America, two-thirds of U.S. adults are either overweight or obese right now. So the problem is profound.
Now, this amounts to a sin tax. Do we know how effective it's been in other states that have instituted this?
You know, it varies with that sort of thing. For example, in 2009, the New England Journal of Medicine said that these sorts of taxes are a very good way to combat the obesity crisis. On the other hand, last year, the Rand Corporation came out with a report that said soda taxes that are at their current levels of about 4% or so are not really going to do the job. People will simply pay that extra amount for their sugar fix. On the other hand, Rand found that if you had a soda tax in the 18% range, or 18 cents for every dollar, that would have a big impact.
But a few pennies. Does that really discourage consumption? I mean, I'm already paying, in some cases, $5 or $6 for a 12-pack of sugar water.
All true, and you'll probably pay whatever you want if you want your fix. On the other hand, if our goal is to try and create resources that would give Americans just better opportunities to be physically fit, bike paths, basketball courts, gym memberships, well, that money has to come from somewhere. And as with all sin taxes, you're taking a negative behavior and trying to turn it into a positive.
Brace yourself, huh, if you're really into that sugar fix.
Or get up and take a walk.
David Lazarus is consumer columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And finally this morning, some unwelcome stowaways started bugging passengers, and now British Airways has had them forcibly removed, you might say. This after a frequent flying Yahoo executive claimed she suffered 90 bed bug bites on what turned out to be literally a bloody flight from London to L.A., When it happened again on another flight, she lost patience with BA's response and created a website with graphic pictures. She chose a very effective double entendre name for the site, BABites.com. I say effective because BA now says it grounded and fumigated two of its 747 jumbo jets. It's also apologized. I don't know, given the way the airline industry operates these days, I'd start checking your ticket for some kind of new charge now. Probably buried under something like the Pest Removal and Mitigation Recovery Fee. Yeah, that's the ticket. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
That whole thing about reducing dependence on foreign oil, it's been around for a while.
Let us set as our national goal that by the end of this decade, we will have developed the potential to meet our own energy needs without depending on any foreign energy sources.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the great pipeline dream, next time on Marketplace from APM. That's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.